U.S. government officials are threatening the staff of the International Criminal Court at The Hague and telling the ICC that if it issues arrest warrants against top Israeli officials over their war crimes in Gaza, the U.S. government is threatening to impose sanctions on the ICC and even threatening to invade The Hague in order to protect Israeli officials and to prevent them from facing justice over the war crimes that they are committing against the Palestinian people with U.S. support. And of course, the U.S. government has been providing the vast majority of the weapons that Israel is using in order to carry out these war crimes in Gaza. A dozen Republican senators sent a letter to the prosecutor of the ICC threatening to impose sanctions on him and also threatening to potentially invade The Hague. This letter was leaked to the media. I'm going to look at the letter in a second. It's really an incredible document. But before that, I want to emphasize that it's not just Republicans who are threatening the ICC. This is very much bipartisan. The Joe Biden administration, the Democratic administration, is also pressuring the ICC. There are many reports in the Israeli media that behind the scenes, the Biden administration is also more softly threatening the ICC. So this is really the difference between the two major parties. The Republicans are acting like members of the mafia and threatening to invade The Hague, whereas the Democrats are instead more softly threatening the ICC. But both political parties are threatening the International Criminal Court. And this exposes the hypocrisy of the U.S. government when it talks about the so-called rules-based international order or when it claims to care about international law. In reality, the U.S. tries to impose its rules on the rest of the world, and then the U.S. violates those rules when it's politically convenient, and it lets its allies like Israel violate those rules when it's convenient to U.S. interests. And then if there is a possibility that the U.S. or its allies might face legal consequences, Washington threatens legal institutions to prevent them from actually carrying out justice. This is exactly what happened in 2020 when Donald Trump was in the White House. The ICC opened an investigation into war crimes committed in the war in Afghanistan, and it was investigating war crimes committed by the US and NATO forces. So in response, the Trump administration imposed sanctions on the ICC and threatened the staff of the ICC, including the family members of ICC personnel. Human Rights Watch published a report back in 2020 warning that Donald Trump's attack on the ICC shows his contempt for the global rule of law. And that's true. However, it's not just the Republicans. Now Biden is also threatening the ICC in order to prevent it from prosecuting Israel over the war crimes it is committing. And again, it is impossible to overstate the U.S. government's hypocrisy, because when the Joe Biden administration came into power in 2021, the Secretary of State Antony Blinken publicly announced the end of sanctions and visa restrictions against the personnel of the ICC. So the Biden administration claimed, look, we're not like Trump. We're not going to threaten the ICC and sanction the ICC like our Republican predecessor did. But now that the ICC is talking about potentially issuing an arrest warrant for Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, now the Biden administration is once again threatening the ICC. And this brings me back to the letter that Republican senators sent to the prosecutor of the ICC, threatening to not only impose sanctions on the ICC, but also to invade the ICC if it issues an arrest warrant for top Israeli officials like Benjamin Netanyahu. This letter was obtained by the media outlet Zateo. It's a new media outlet founded by Mehdi Hassan, who was previously a host at MSNBC, but he was pushed out for speaking out against the US-backed crimes against humanity being committed by Israel in Gaza. Now, in this report, they obtained a screenshot of the letter that was written by 12 Republican senators, including Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Marco Rubio of Florida, and Ted Cruz of Texas. I'm showing here a copy of the letter, but it's very small font. It's hard to read on the screen. So instead, I'm going to show some of the highlights from the article. These U.S. senators threatened to impose, quote, severe sanctions on the International Criminal Court and said that if the ICC issues an arrest warrant for Israeli officials, it will be interpreted, quote, not only as a threat to Israel's sovereignty, but to the sovereignty of the United States. This is quite an interesting admission that Israel is an extension of the United States. Israel is part of the U.S. empire. It is an extension of the U.S. empire in one of the most important geostrategic regions of the world, West Asia, the so-called Middle East, which has the world's largest oil and gas reserves. It has numerous geostrategic choke points needed for international trade. These U.S. senators are admitting what I've been pointing out for many years, that Israel is an extension of the U.S. empire. And it shows that U.S. officials are afraid that if Israel faces legal consequences, the U.S. will also face legal consequences because it's directly complicit in these crimes. Now, in this letter, I'm going to continue, the U.S. senators threatened the ICC and said, quote, target Israel and we will target you. The U.S. threatened to impose sanctions on ICC employees and associates, and also to bar them and their family members from the U.S. So they're also threatening family members. And at the end of the letter, the Republican senators wrote, quote, you have been warned. And in response to this, the ICC published a statement in which they publicly condemned unnamed people for intimidating its officials. This is a clear sign from the ICC. This is them publicly admitting that the U.S. government is threatening them. And the other incredible part of this letter, they mention that the U.S. government passed a law called the American Service Members Protection Act. And in this letter, they say that the U.S. has demonstrated in this law the lengths to which we will go to protect its sovereignty. This law that they cited is popularly known as the Hague Invasion Act, and it was passed by the George W. Bush administration back in 2002 in the lead up to the illegal U.S. invasion of Iraq. And this law, the American Service Members Protection Act of 2002, as Human Rights pointed out, quote, authorizes the use of military force to liberate any American or citizen of a U.S. allied country held by the court. This provision is known as the Hague Invasion Clause. So when the U.S. senators invoked this law in their letter threatening the ICC, they were clearly communicating to the Hague, we will invade you. The U.S. military will invade the Hague and physically save any Israeli official like Benjamin Netanyahu, take them out of the court with the U.S. military. We will violate the sovereignty of the ICC and the Netherlands, where the Hague is. The U.S. is willing to invade them in order to make sure that there are no legal consequences for the Israeli regime and by extension the U.S. government for the crimes against humanity being carried out against the Palestinian people. This to me says everything about the so-called rules-based international order that we supposedly live in. In reality, it is a mafia-style system led by the U.S. empire. We can see that very clearly here. And by the way, I should point out that many people around the world have been criticizing the ICC for doing nothing for 7 months as Israel has been carrying out blatant crimes against humanity. In fact, top experts at the United Nations have publicly said that Israel is carrying out the G crime, the worst potential crime that a state could commit. I'm not going to say that word because this will be censored and demonetized in the algorithm. But the International Court of Justice, the UN's top legal body, not to be confused with the ICC, they're different. The International Court of Justice ruled in January that Israel can be investigated for violating the G Convention, for carrying out the G crime against the Palestinian people. And a month later, Amnesty International reported that Israel has been violating this ruling by the International Court of Justice by using food as a weapon, starvation tactics, to try to starve large numbers of Palestinians into submission. Another separate UN expert warned that Israel is deliberately starving Palestinians and pointed out that Israel's denial of food to Palestinians is a war crime. And he said that this constitutes a situation of the G crime against humanity. Top UN officials are warning that Gaza is now officially facing famine, a man-made famine caused by Israel. Cindy McCain, the American director of the United Nations World Food Program, told the Associated Press that in Gaza, quote, "It's horror. There is famine, full-blown famine in the north, and it's moving its way south." Israel is blatantly trying to starve more than 2 million Palestinian civilians. And meanwhile, top Israeli officials are openly calling for the G crime. I'm reading here a report published at the end of April by the mainstream Israeli newspaper Haaretz. Israel's far-right minister Smotrich calls for no half measures in the total annihilation of Gaza. And the top Israeli official, Bezalel Smotrich, who's the finance minister and also member of Netanyahu's security cabinet, he said that there should be, quote, no half measures. He called for the, quote, total annihilation of Gaza's cities of Rafah, Deir al-Bala, Nusayrat. And he said, "You will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Amalek is this term that Israeli officials have repeatedly used, which is a blatant call for the G crime, to eliminate all Palestinians as a nation. And this was spelled out very clearly back in November in the mainstream U.S. media outlet Mother Jones, titled "The Dangerous History Behind Netanyahu's Amalek Rhetoric." It points out that Netanyahu gave a speech in which he called for the G crime in Gaza, that is, eliminating all of the Palestinian people. And in his speech, Netanyahu, the far-right Israeli prime minister backed 100% by the U.S., he said, quote, "You must remember what Amalek has done to you, says our Holy Bible." And in the Bible, God commands King Saul in the first book of Samuel to K-word, to eliminate every single person in Amalek, a rival nation to the ancient Israeli nation. And he says, "Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them." I'm reading from the Bible here. "Do not spare them. Put to D the end of the life of men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So this is part of the Bible in which God calls for the G crime, to eliminate all human beings, all animals, all men, women, and children of this nation. And now this is what the Israeli regime has been doing, calling for the complete elimination of the Palestinian people. The U.S. government is 100% supporting Israel as it's issuing these calls for the G crime, to eliminate all of the Palestinian people. The U.S. government is sending billions of dollars of weapons, missiles, military equipment to Israel to help facilitate these crimes against humanity. The hypocrisy is almost laughable because back in 2023, the ICC issued an arrest warrant for Vladimir Putin over the war in Ukraine. And in response to that, Joe Biden said it is welcome, and Joe Biden called on countries around the world to abide by the ICC's arrest warrant and to arrest Vladimir Putin if he entered their territory. Secretary of State Blinken said the exact same thing. He called on countries to arrest the Russian president. But now that the ICC is talking about maybe issuing an arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu, no. The U.S. government no longer supports the ICC and is once again threatening the ICC. So the message is very clear. When the U.S. government talks about the so-called rules-based international order, what Washington means is that there is a set of rules that the U.S. makes, and the U.S. and its allies like Israel do not have to abide by those rules. They can do whatever they want. They can commit the worst possible crimes against humanity. But if adversaries of the U.S. violate these so-called rules that the U.S. arbitrarily makes, then the U.S. wants the International Criminal Court to arrest their leaders. The U.S. imposes sanctions on them. The U.S. threatens to invade them and faces no consequences whatsoever. It's not a rules-based order. It is an imperialist order in which the U.S. empire tries to control the entire world and uses mafia-style tactics to threaten everyone else. And what's so ironic about this is that the ICC has for many years been criticized for being biased in the interests of the West. In fact, until 2016, the only leaders who were tried at the ICC were Africans. This is why some African officials had jokingly condemned the ICC as the International Caucasian Court or the International Colonial Court, pointing out that it's rooted in legacies of colonialism, and it showed these clear double standards of not trying Western government officials. Like, for instance, the U.S. government and U.S. officials like George Bush, who invaded Iraq, resulting in the death of more than 1 million Iraqis, but faced no consequences whatsoever. And what is so ironic is that Israel itself had lobbied for the new prosecutor in the ICC to be appointed back in 2021. This was reported by Israel's public news channel. Israel pushed the ICC member countries to elect Karim Khan for the top prosecutor job. Karim Khan is a British lawyer who is now the current prosecutor of the ICC. And Israeli public media pointed out that Israel worked hard behind the scenes to get Karim Khan to be elected to the ICC. And then immediately after Karim Khan became prosecutor in 2021, he dropped the investigation into the US government and NATO over the war crimes committed in Afghanistan. This was a clear sign that Karim Khan was backed by the Western powers. He was their boy. They were the ones who put him in power in the ICC in the first place. And the cherry on top of this never-ending hypocrisy is that the US government and Israel are not even members of the International Criminal Court. They are not state parties to the Rome Statute, which established the ICC back in 2002. Now, for people who don't know, the ICC is not the ICJ, the International Court of Justice. Technically, the International Criminal Court is not directly linked to the United Nations. When the UN was created in 1945, it also created a legal arm, which is the International Court of Justice, and the ICJ prosecutes states, whereas the ICC was created in 2002, much more recently, and the ICC prosecutes individuals, so leaders of states. And ironically, it was the Western powers that supported the creation of the ICC, basically as a kind of neoliberal alternative to the ICJ, because the US has always used its veto power in the UN Security Council in order to prevent the ICJ from prosecuting it and its allies, which is what the US did in the 1980s when the ICJ ruled that the US government had violated international law and carried out crimes against the people of Nicaragua for backing the Contra-Terror War against the revolutionary Sandinista government in the 1980s. The US used its veto power in the Security Council in order to prevent any consequences. And then the Western powers in the 2000s, in 2002, they supported the creation of the International Criminal Court, which instead of targeting states, it only targeted individual leaders. What also makes it confusing is that both the ICJ and the ICC are located at The Hague in the Netherlands. So it's very confusing. But the point is that Israel's crimes have become so blatant. Top UN experts are clearly saying that Israel is intentionally starving large numbers of Palestinians, causing famine, and carrying out the G crime against humanity. And now these crimes are so blatant that the ICC is being forced to act and potentially issue arrest warrants, because if it doesn't, the entire world can see how biased the ICC is, how it only acts in the interests of the Western powers. Until 2016, it had only prosecuted Africans. The ICC is being forced to act to save face. But for the US government, that's too much. The US government would rather sacrifice the international reputation of the ICC in order to make sure that there are no legal consequences for Israel as it's carrying out egregious crimes against humanity with the support of the US government. Also, of course, because Washington knows that all of these crimes that Israel is committing are being carried out with U.S. weapons, U.S. bombs, U.S. military technology, and the staunch support of the U.S. government. So all of Israel's crimes are U.S. crimes. And as the Republican senators said in their letter threatening the ICC, they consider any legal action against Israel to also be legal action against the United States. This is them implicitly acknowledging that Israel is an extension of the U.S. empire, and all of Israel's crimes against humanity are U.S. crimes against humanity. People all around the world, outside the bubble of the West, which only represents 13% of the world population, the other 87% of the world, the global majority, can clearly see the role of the U.S. government in sponsoring these crimes against humanity and the hypocrisy of the U.S. government that talks about the so-called rules-based international order, when in reality it is a mafia-style imperial order in which the U.S. threatens countries around the world, threatens them with invasions and sanctions, and even threatens the International Criminal Court with sanctions and an invasion if these international institutions dare to ever try to take action against the U.S. or its allies. This is the reality of the world we live in today. And here at Geopolitical Economy Report, we tell the truth about what's happening. We don't mince words like Western media outlets, which simply often act as propaganda mouthpieces for Western governments. If you like the work that we do, please like and subscribe. It helps to promote our material. And also, if you like the work that we do, please consider becoming a patron over at patreon.com/geopoliticaleconomy. It helps us to sustain our work. On that note, I'm going to conclude. I am Ben Norton, the editor-in-chief of Geopolitical Economy Report. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. I will see you all next time.